Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey everybody, welcome to the OFR Farm Report. With me as always, my co-host, Matt Kritzberg. Hey Matt, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. We're back again, day late this week, but it turns out it's probably a good timing kind of thing because there was maybe a move or two down in the minor leagues today, or 20, or I've lost count, but there was a lot going on today, and we'll be sure to review those to fill you in on what's going on.
Yeah, and the important thing is it finally happened. Henrik Clementina, Gwinnett Striper.
One step away.
That's right.
Future World Series hero, Henrik Clementina.
D'Arnaud can't get back as quickly as they thought. And then Chadwick Trump, steps on a landmine. And then maybe one other thing. And then you're looking at starting catcher Henrik Clementina for your Atlanta Braves.
It's just that, the way the dominoes fall. I mean, it's all part of the plan.
So besides that, there were a few guys that were moving on up this week.
Well, we're moving on up, moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky.
All right, let's start with the Gwinnett Stripers. In addition to Clementina, another guy we've been talking about lately, you may have heard of, right-hander Darius Vines, and that's probably the... I guess that would probably be the top prospect that that moved today. Darius Vines, he's been basically the best pitcher in the minor leagues for about the last month. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh yeah, and I think we're up to about 6 weeks now. So yeah, it's last six starts. I mean, he's been absolutely tremendous. If you look at the overall stats, it's not super pretty. I mean, it's 3.95 ERA, 4.07 FIP, 3.68 xFIP. It's like, okay, that's okay. But then you look over the last six starts where he has a 1.19 ERA, a whip of 0.80 over 37 and two-thirds innings with 41 strikeouts. I mean, he's been basically unstoppable for about 6 weeks now.
Yeah, yeah. And so this was a well-deserved rotation, and it really represents a changing of the guard, I think, for – you know, how we're looking at the kind of the next men up as far as the rotation. Obviously, in Gwinnett now, we have Kyle Muller still, and we have Ian Anderson, who we'll talk about more a little bit later. But then after that, it's all guys that started this season with Mississippi.
Well, and of course, we've got Bryce Elder still, but...
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about him.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, you got Freddie Tarnock, Jared Schuster, and Darius Vines, all who joined the club within the last couple of weeks. And I'm guessing when Anderson comes in, they'll probably push it out to a six-man rotation for a bit, kind of help relieve some of the workload here before the end of the season, because I'm sure guys like Schuster and Vines and Tarnock, I mean, they've already thrown a good number of innings this season as compared to last season.
Yeah, and I don't expect Anderson to actually be down all that long. He's even not traveling with a club right now. He's traveling with the big league club. He's going to be the 27th man in the doubleheader this weekend in Miami. And then he'll probably make, I'm going to guess, maybe three starts with Gwinnett before he comes back up.
That sounds about right. And probably allow him some time to kind of get straight. And then, of course, you add the extra man on at the beginning of September. But the Braves may choose to go with extra reliever, at least in the short term, and before they decide they want him back. Hopefully he makes the progress he needs to make, because right now Ian Anderson's everything about him is pretty ugly.
Yeah, we'll come back to that, but I wanted to keep going through these moves. So Clementina and Vines up to AAA, basically backfilling them in AA. We have Rodri Munoz and then Javi Valdez coming up from Rome. Two guys that also have been playing very well recently. I was really happy to see Munoz get this shot here. He's been pitching also extremely well lately.
Yeah, I mean, and especially so that he kind of jumped ahead of Roybert Salinas as far as promotion material is concerned. But I mean, his numbers have been really good this season. I mean, it's a well-deserved promotion, and it's going to be interesting to see him perform in that Mississippi rotation.
Yeah, it's interesting between the two. You know, Salinas started the season like a house of fire. I actually saw him this last week for the first time live and came away impressed with Salinas. But Munoz has been more, I guess, steady the last month or so, and his control has really taken a step forward. His walk rate extremely low. He's really throwing a lot of strikes. We'll see how that plays in double A, where hitters are a little more advanced and tends to murder balls that are in the zone a little bit more regularly. So I think Munoz will be challenged, but I think it's a challenge that he has earned.
Yeah. And then Javier Valdez is an interesting case too. Of course, he's backfilling Clementina's promotion to Gwinnett, but Valdez has put some really nice numbers this season. 132 WRC plus. I mean, he's 21st round pick in 2019 and a well-deserved promotion. And I figure once Chadwick Tromp gets moved back down to Gwinnett, I'm kind of thinking they stay with the same contingent. They'll kind of split time with Tromp and Clementina at AAA and keep Valdez along with Logan Brown at AA as the tandem there.
Yeah, I mean, the other catchers at AAA right now is Ryan Castile, who's probably best served as a third catcher slash first baseman slash DH anyway. And then the seldom used Dawson Dimon is the third catcher right now. So he's been everywhere up from FCL all the way to AAA and back down again. It's just kind of wherever there's a hole for him. All right, this was some interesting moves here. Geraldo Quintero up from Augusta was kind of the big name. But we also had catcher Victor De Hoyos, who joins Tyler Tolvay, and Nick Clarno, who was brought up last week, a recent non-drafted free agent signing, who was recently with the Savannah Bananas. And Brandon Parker, who we've been talking about a lot, he was a OFR player of the week just 2 weeks ago. He's been really hitting well the last 2 months or so. The outfield as it for Rome has taken some hits as Landon Stevens came up late last week to fill in for an injured Justin Dean at AA. I don't think he's coming back down, so they really needed somebody there, and Parker definitely been the hottest guy at Augusta and deserve this. And then also a reliever, Miguel Pena, who had been kind of more one of the more reliable arms in the Augusta pen, now gets a shot at High A Rome.
Yeah, I think among these moves, the most interesting one is Quintero. Of course, he got the surprise high prospect ranking from Fangraphs a few weeks ago, where he's named as the Braves' number 9 prospect. And he's still only 20 years old, graduated to High A. So, I mean, he's definitely making moves. He's listed as a shortstop, but he hasn't played any shortstop this season. He's mainly playing primarily second and third base. So it's kind of interesting to see what his future is going to be in the organization, how they plan to play him going forward.
Yeah, I don't know why he's still listed at shortstop. He, even in the DSL, he was mostly playing second and center field, interestingly enough. So I suspect he'll slot in at third base most of the time at Rome after Malloy was moved off the position and then moved off the team. just a few weeks ago, it's been kind of a rotation between Bo Phillip and Cade Bunnell. And so I think Quintero will get most of the reps there as the season progresses. Still not sure about his defense long-term, but he's an exciting bat, good, interesting speed power combo guy.
And behind Vaughn Grissom, I mean, he's probably by far the second best infield prospect in the organization right now.
Yeah, that's actually very true. All right, and now the real excitement is Augusta, who basically just turned over almost the entire position player squad there. So first baseman Justin Janis joins the team. It will be interesting to see how he and Mekhi Backstrom split time there. And then David McCabe, I guess he'll play third base, and they seem interested in seeing if he can actually handle that position. Time will tell. Middle infielders EJ Exposito and Keyshawn Ogins also join the team, and they will share time with Francisco Floyd and Braulio Vasquez, who remain. a couple of guys that had come up from the SCL go back to the FCL, and Elizal Stevens, who had actually been hitting extremely well for Augusta. So I'm a little surprised to see him move back down. And then in catching, Drake Baldwin and Andrew Keck, and I expect Keck to also play a little bit of outfield as well. They join Adam Zabrowski in a very crowded situation behind the plate.
Yeah, I imagine there'll be a lot of rotation between catcher, DH, and other spots as well. Make room for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, as of right now, I only show three true outfielders on the squad in Brandon Mosqueda, Stephen Paolini, and Caden Morton. So, yeah, I expect Keck to play some outfield. Braulio Vasquez can play some outfield, and we'll see what else they kind of do out there. And then Ian Mejia is the one pitcher that came up with this group, and we'll see how they slot him. He only appeared in one game in the FCL, pitched one good inning. We'll see if they start him or if they just kind of work some time in the bullpen with him, or maybe piggyback with one of the other starters there. But I'm interested to see what the Rome rotation is going to look like. I imagine it's not a finished product quite yet, as right now I only have four starters for Rome, and obviously they want at least one more. So I think there might be another move maybe later in the week.
Yeah, and remember in comparison to past seasons, where ordinarily the minor league season would be wrapping up by the 1st of September, it goes on further than that this year. So they will have to definitely cover more innings and more starts. So they'll definitely be adding on to that contingent.
Yeah. And then another move, they activated catcher Harry Owen, who we talked a little bit about last year. I'm sorry, a little bit last week. And he's now in the FCL. So some guys that had kind of trickled up to Rome to fill in spots have all gone back to FCL, back to the FCL now. And that includes Ethan Werkinger, the outfielder, and included Luis Moreno and Jose Delone, who had all come up to Rome. They're back in the FCL. So lots of moving parts here in the organization.
Yeah, and that doesn't include some of the things like Nolan Kingham coming down from Gwinnett to Mississippi, and noted prospect Darren O'Day moving up to Gwinnett, and Coleman Huntley at Mississippi being moved to the developmental list. Got a couple of releases in Connor Blair and Brian Klein at Augusta, and Braden Shoemake hitting the injured list. So I mean, that's a lot of transactions for one day.
Yeah, that is actually reigning OFR position player of the week, Connor Blair, getting his release. So he basically has the best week of his professional career, and then unfortunately that's not enough as he's let go by the organization. So hopefully he'll be picked up by another affiliate, but he was on an upswing.
Yeah, hopefully he's not trudging his way out the door, clutching his OFR award, saying, "I've got my OFR award, and that's all I need."
Oh my God, that's so sad. All right, let's circle back to Ian Anderson. There was a It was an okay article on FanGraphs. How about that?
Yeah.
the analysis I thought was a little short. It was basically a very long, numbery article saying, you know who hasn't been so great this year? Ian Anderson.
What? No
kidding. Yeah. Finally, there was some good numbers at the interesting numbers at the end. I thought that the analysis here, his four-seam fastball hasn't had as much ride this year, and drop has increased from 13 to two-thirds inches to 14.4 inches. So that's almost a full inch of less ride. So what we're talking about ride is the perception of the fastball staying high, right? It's going to drop because obviously the pitcher is throwing from the top of a pitcher's mound and he's throwing downhill. So it's always going to go, you know, there's going to be an angle What you want with a four-seam fastball, especially when you want to throw it high in the zone, is obviously less of an angle. And to a batter, the optics of that means it feels almost like it's rising. It's not really rising, but it kind of looks like it. What made Ian Anderson effective when he first came up, and even for most of last year, was the difference between the changeup, which is truly an elite pitch, and the reason why you will never, ever give up on Ian Anderson, is his changeup is so deceptive and has such great movement down in the zone. And when he combined that with a high-velocity four-seamer that had a lot of rise, you saw a lot of awkward swings, you saw a lot of weak contact, and you saw a lot of strikeouts. And that's the Ian Anderson that has been missing this year. And I think that four-seam, not having that action, is really the kind of the root of his issues. There was also his curve was also getting less vertical break. That's also a problem, and he's thrown it a lot less too. He obviously doesn't have a lot of confidence in that curveball right now. When it's on, it's a big dipper that has a sharp break at the end, and hitters swing over top of it. I've only seen him throw it really well maybe 5 or 6 times all season, so that's obviously a problem too. But I think that four seamer is the root of his problem. He needs to figure out why that is. They did make a point that it's been basically that way since last year when he was out for a while with that shoulder inflammation. When he came back, it didn't have that same action on it. Matt, I guess what's your opinion here? Do you think Ian Anderson will be a viable pitcher for us down the stretch?
That's the question, and I'm not sure he can be, because the kinds of adjustments we're looking at him having to make is not something that can be tweaked in bullpen sessions between starts. I think there's going to have to be some significant changes. Like you said, the changeup is something you can build around. It's not like he's a lost cause and he's going to be DFA'd next week. He's got some materials to work with here, but something has to happen with that fastball. The fastball was barely manageable last season, and now it's like a first percentile fastball and for fastball spin and curve spin. So he's just not getting much out of either pitch right now. And if you can't get a decent fastball going, none of the other stuff's going to really matter. And can he fix that at Gwinnett? And what I don't like is the whole fact that they're keeping him around the major league club, and then they're going to have him make that 27th man appearance, and they're going to send him to Gwinnett. I mean, why not just go ahead and send him to Gwinnett and let him get started on working on getting things fixed? I mean, I know you can do some things on the road, but I mean, you're talking about like bullpen sessions, things like that. I mean, I guess that's a big question. Is this going to get it fixed in this manner?
Yeah. And I imagine the answer to that is just logistics. It was, you know, Gwinnett's on the road. The Braves are on the road. He pitched on Saturday. And,
So you're probably talking about Friday or Saturday would be
his next Friday, right? Right. So, and there's 2 days off. So if they could have pitched him in Atlanta, but not really, like there really wasn't a spot for there. So do you send him to wherever Gwinnett is now to get one start? But even then would be have enough rest before he had to make that start in Atlanta as the 27th man. Now, obviously they could have chosen somebody else to be the 27th man, but obviously I don't think they have confidence in basically anybody right now. Kyle Muller just now coming back from injury. Wiskar Yanoa also coming back from injury. Bryce Elder came up to the 27th man, pitched some innings in relief, and was hit around pretty good. So of the choices, I guess they would rather have Ian Anderson. They can control his, him and from, throwing in the bullpen with Atlanta before sending him back to Gwinnett. And I don't know, maybe a little bit of break might just help Ian Anderson out, just resting the arm a little bit.
Yeah, and look at the competition. His last really good start was against a depleted Arizona roster, and he'll get that same situation again this weekend when he takes on the Marlins. So, I mean, that's kind of – you're kind of setting him up for success. So, I mean, hopefully he gets a good start out of it and before they move him down to Gwinnett. I figure, regardless of what happens, he's going to be moved down anyway, even if he pitches spectacularly against the Marlins, because I don't know, maybe the Arizona start was maybe a little bit of fool's gold based off the roster he was facing, but could possibly be the same thing with the Marlins. But at least he's got a shot doing. But like you said, who are your other options? I mean, you had Kyle Muller, who only went 4 2/3 innings in his first start back. Bryce Elder didn't even last that long in his 27th man appearance. And then who beyond that? I mean, I can't imagine you're bringing up somebody on the 40-man roster like Freddie Tarnock to start a game like that.
Yeah, Tarnock has had a really nice start to his AAA career, but he's not ready for major league hitters yet. I think that would be setting him up for failure. But so Anderson will make that start, and then he'll hopefully work some things out in Gwinnett. He's getting replaced in the major league rotation by Jake Odorizzi, who was traded for at the deadline. I'll be honest, I've never thought much of him. Not as a person, I'm sure he's a swell guy, but but as a pitcher, he's never impressed me that much. Perfectly fine as a fourth or fifth starter, kind of innings guy, but Ian Anderson should be able to beat out Jake Odorizzi for that spot. His stuff is just too good. And I know we talk about spin rate sometimes. Ian Anderson's never had an elite spin rate, and you can be successful without it, depending on your repertoire, right? Your changeup actually is better at a low spin rate. Your four-seamer, it kind of doesn't matter if you can get that ride to it, which is why it's so important. I think he probably needs to switch his third pitch up, and there's always this big debate, on baseball social media about Ian Anderson's third pitch. I don't think that's his main problem, but ideally, I think I'd like to see him try something else. I suggested a knuckle curve, like Mike Mussina, a pitcher I watched a lot, back when he was with Baltimore. So, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully, he gets around. Ian Anderson, a guy we've watched a lot and are really pulling for.
Yeah, and like a change like that would have to be an off-season type change. You don't need to be trying out new pitches or new arm slots or anything like that in the middle of August. So he's just going to have to make some tweaks and adjustments to his current arsenal to try to get through the season. But, I mean, we've seen his past work. I mean, he's got the ability to make that kind of successful adjustment, and the Braves really need it for him to do so, because if you look at the possible postseason rotation, of course, you got Max Fried at the top. You've got Kyle Wright and Spencer Strider there. And then, I mean, Charlie Morton's been kind of up and down. And then you got Ian Anderson. So, I mean, which one of them gets to be the fourth starter in the postseason? I'm imagining it's going to be Charlie Morton. But, I mean, Ian Anderson's got quite a track record as well.
Yeah, and everybody knows Anderson's postseason success. So, the big stage doesn't faze him, and that counts for a lot. So Anderson, it would be really great if he could at least come back partway from where he was in 2021.
All right, starting off in Gwinnett. Gwinnett visited Charlotte this week, and it wasn't a particularly great week, as much like the last couple of weeks, they went 2-4 this week, and they just keep dropping in the standings. But that's not the really thing to keep an eye on now. Obviously, the pitching staff's where everything's at right now. Freddie Tarnock had another good start. He pitched 5 shutout innings and has a 2.08 ERA through his first 4 starts with a sub-600 OPS against him. He's got a lot of short efforts, a lot of these 5-inning type starts, but that's what he was doing at Mississippi too. But, I mean, if you get 5 innings of dominant baseball out of him, that's much better than a 7-inning, 3-inning, I mean, I'm sorry, a 7-inning, 3-run type of effort. So, I mean, he's off to a really good start, and I'm really pleased to see what he started at Gwinnett. Jared Schuster, I mean, he had a middling effort, 4 runs over 6 innings, and but a couple of those runs came in his final inning where he gave a couple of solo home runs. So, I mean, it's much better than his first start, so hopefully he's going to just build up from there. The big news of the week on the pitching staff was Kyle Muller. He came back to the mound this week after he broke a bone in his non-throwing hand, so they've got him outfitted for a splint now. His overall numbers were not good, giving up 5 runs over 4 2/3 innings, but 4 of those runs were in the first inning after not having pitched for about 3 weeks. So once he got that out of the way over the next 3 2/3 innings, he only gave up 1 run. So nice little comeback there for Muller, and hopefully he can carry that over into his next start. In the bullpen, the main thing of note is that Kirby Yates, he's still at Gwinnett. He made 3 appearances last week, including back-to-back appearances in the middle of the week. And he's basically ready to come to Atlanta. I think they're just looking for a spot from which to insert him, because they basically have a pretty full bullpen right now and more help on the way. I mean, you got Darren O'Day starting to rehab there at Gwinnett. and they basically got a full house right now, so they could be making some adjustments in the not too distant future. All right, among the position players of note, Braden Shumake suffered a pretty gruesome injury this week. He had a collision in the outfield with Travis Demerit, and the way it kind of lined out is that Demerit's knee kind of made contact with Shumake's shin, and nothing's been revealed about the nature of the injury, but he did try to catch the baseball and then collapsed, and then they ended up having to try to help him off the field because he lost consciousness. So I don't know if maybe got a concussion out of it, or maybe just passed out from the pain. But yeah, it didn't seem like an injury that's going to bring him back anytime in the near future.
Yeah, looking at that whole scene there, it was ugly. He collided with Demerit, and at first it looked like Demerit was really hurt, but he shook it off. But Shumake, he collided and he was on the ground and the ball kind of trickled near him and he saw it and he stood up to go get it. And as soon as he put weight on that leg, he collapsed. And I think the losing consciousness was, I think he had broken that bone and then when he didn't realize it and then put weight on it and made it worse. He was in pain. It was not a pleasant thing to watch, and really hoping he comes back well. I'm going to guess next year. I don't think we see him again.
Yeah, I mean, about 6 weeks left in the season. I can't imagine that's going to happen.
Hey everybody, this is Andy from the future. We have a breaking news on Braden Shumake. According to The Athletic's David O'Brien, tore the posterior cruciate ligament of his left knee in that collision with Travis Demerit. So torn PCL, that is a 6 to 8 expected recovery. So yes, Shumake expected to be done for the entire season, but not the broken bone that we feared. So you are now up to date. Back to the show.
All right, I'm moving on to Mississippi. Mississippi had a really rough week. They only won, they lost 5 out of 6 games at home to interstate rival Biloxi. And the offense had almost nothing to offer this week. Even Vaughn Grissom had only a 6.29 OPS for the week. Jalen Miller had 5 hits. Andrew Boards had 5 hits, but there wasn't really much else other than that to choose from. The big thing on the starting rotation this week, as we mentioned earlier, Darius Vines continued his strong role as of late. He threw 7 innings during his one start for the week, gave up just 1 run and 4 hits and 1 walk while striking out 9. I mean, and he's just been absolutely dominant and finishing off these starts. It's been absolutely impressive. And like we talked about earlier, well-earned promotion. Dylan Dodd, he came back after the week before. He had 2 really, really poor starts. But this time he put in a solid effort, 2 runs over 6 innings. So nice bounce back from him. Alan Winans, who he pitched at Gwinnett earlier in the season and just recently came back from injury, made his second start for Mississippi. He's still not going long distances. He's going to 4 2/3 innings, but he allowed just 1 run over that time frame. So he'll be a nice addition to the rotation. And being that with Nolan Kingham added to the rotation now, they're basically going to be running a 6-man rotation here, probably for the remainder of the season, help back off on some of the workload. Some of these guys like Dylan Dodd and Munoz and Alan Rangel and Tanner Gordon are putting in pitching every 6th day instead of every 5th day is going to help alleviate some of that workload through the end of the season.
Yeah, and of course, we're recording on Tuesday, and so there is minor leagues game planned. I did see just before we started that Winans started tonight, and he actually pitched 6 innings tonight, which is his longest outing of his career. So congratulations, Alan Winans. And Grissom, he's got now a 6-game hitting streak. He got on base again tonight with a hit. So, it's there. It's not been the 2-for-4, 3-for-4 nights that he'd been having a few weeks ago. But he has been, reaching base consistently. But that lineup right now is looking a little haggard for Mississippi.
Yeah, it may not be the 3-for-4s and 4-for-5s, but at least it's also not going the other direction where he's going through a 1-for-20 streak or anything like that. At least he's reaching base each night and contributing to the cause.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see that from Vaughn Grissom, at least in the minor leagues. his overall hit tool. I don't think we'll allow that kind of, you know, 1-for-20 slump and, you know, against a minor league competition, but we'll see.
And which tonight he does have 3 hits tonight, by the way.
On to Rome now. They had a nice week. In fact, they swept the Greenville Drive. The Greenville Drive is not a very good team, and Rome did what they were supposed to do and kind of took them to the woodshed. They increased their division lead to 2.5 games over Bowling Green, and this week they take on the Asheville Tourists. They got contributions from all up and down the lineup. Jacob Pearson, who's a guy that we don't talk about very much, he had been with Mississippi earlier in the year and was with them all last year, came down to Rome back in June. He had probably the best week since coming down. He went 10-for-23 and had 5 stolen bases on the week. So he's out of the leadoff spot and really did a nice job. The Cal Connolly continues to hit well. Lots of extra base hits, double, triple, home run on the week. Kay Bunnell, who's been hitting low in the order, is also got on base a lot. He was 7-for-15 with 8 walks. Just a really nice job down there in getting driven in by the top of the order. With a hit by pitch, Bunnell with a .667 on base percentage last week. Valdez had a good week to finish his Rome tenure. Home run, went 5-for-11, splitting duty pretty much 50-50 with Tyler Tulvey. And then Nick Clarno came up, had only one start, but he went 2-for-4 on that start. So that was a nice intro for Mr. Clarno. On the pitching side, it was, you know, not a great week for the starters. Dylan Spain, who had been in the bullpen all year, it looks like they're going to take a long look for him in the rotation now. Had a couple of outings. He bookended the series. Still not going very deep, obviously, but 3 shutout innings in each of his starts. And then the bullpen has just been outstanding for Rome, and it's been a kind of a strength all season, but this week has been exceptionally good. Jose Mantilla, Davis Schwab, Malcolm Van Buren, Alec Barger, Trey Riley, Israel De La Cruz, and left-hander Alex Siegel, who we talked about last week, should be promoted, was promoted, came up to Rome, all of them through multiple scoreless outings and multiple appearances. So tremendous job by the bullpen that really saved some otherwise kind of pedestrian outings by the rotation most of the week. And then as Matt, you mentioned earlier that Darren O'Day has been on rehab assignment. He made his first appearance with Rome through a scoreless inning on Friday. I witnessed that one. There was a tough play, a grounder to first that the first baseman kind of muffed at the beginning. But O'Day came to the bag and fielded the ball cleanly on an awkward throw. Everything looked great. It had a potential of being a complete disaster, but O'Day, the veteran presence there, kept his cool and got the first out. So he didn't look hurt to me. So I think he'll go to Gwinnett, and I suspect he'll stay in Gwinnett maybe until the rosters expand in September.
That would be my guess, and that would have been a horrible way for him to have his season and possibly his career end as in some nondescript play in A-ball.
Okay, Augusta also had a sweep, just like Rome. They went up to Salisbury, Maryland, faced the Delmarva Shorebirds, who, again, are not a very good team, and they took care of them. The average score of the games in this series was 11-3 Augusta. So It's funny that they had maybe their best series of the second half just before they get almost completely turned over on the offensive side. Again, Connor Blair, who has unfortunately received his release, had a fantastic week. Just on Wednesday, he had made one of the best games you would ever have as a professional hitter. Went 4-for-6 with 2 home runs and a bases clearing double. That was, the bases were loaded. He ended up having 8 RBI on the day. On the week, he got another homer, go with 4 walks. So his batting line, he hit .429 with a .619 on base percentage and a 1.214 slugging percentage. And then he got cut. Elizel Stevens, who was just sent down, also had a fantastic week, 9-for-12 with a homer, a double, and 10 RBIs as well. Brandon Parker, 3-for-9 with a homer. He got called up to Rome. And Mekhi Backstrom went 7-for-23 with 2 homers, including a grand slam on Sunday. And he'll be fighting for playing time. Funny how this game works. Our OFR pitcher of the week was Samuel Strickland, who had the best outing of his professional career, his young professional career. Struck out 11 batters and only walked 1 in 8 innings. That's not a performance you see in Augusta very much. I saw that he was named the Carolina League Pitcher of the Week as well, which was well-earned, just a tremendous performance against Delmarva. And again, the bullpen was really good for Augusta. Rob Griswold, who's normally the closer, didn't get any save opportunities because Augusta was just beating the tar out of Delmarva and didn't have an opportunity, but he still pitched 4 2/3 shutout innings over 2 appearances. A.J. Smith-Shawver, guy that we talk about a lot, unfortunately had a short outing. I'm not sure why he came out. Did throw a good number of pitches, but not enough that makes you think he hit some sort of limit. So hopefully there's not an injury situation there. That is something that we will monitor. Right. Briefly going down to the complex leagues and the DSL, again, pitching was really strong. This time, Anthony Garcia, 5 innings, only allowing 1 hit and 1 earned run. And Johnly Tavares, 6 innings, only 1 unearned run and only 2 hits. So DSL Braves continue to get fantastic pitching. Douglas Glode had a really nice week, 3-for-8 with 2 doubles. And catcher Alexander Martinez, who's started off strong, kind of slowed down a little bit. He seems to be heating up again. He homered last week as well. The SAL roster welcomed all those new guys, including catcher Drake Baldwin, who very impressive starting out, 3-for-8 with 2 doubles and 3 RBIs. But the big news was finally Amburis Tavares made his pro debut last Monday. And this week was a really good 5-for-14 with 2 doubles. So that Tavares and Ignacio Alvarez and Drake Baldwin up at the top of that FCL order there did some real damage this week. Good start for the 3 of them. All right, Matt, anything else?
No, I think that'll do it.
All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and close this out. My headphones are completely out of juice, so I can't hear Matt anyway. So we'll close it out here and hope everybody has a great week.
Have a good one.
No. Le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. C'est payé. Balayé, oublié. mes chagrins, mes plaisirs. Je n'ai plus besoin de balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours. Je repars à zéro. Rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie, car mes jours. Ça commence.